shot by Cheney, is recovering. Harry Whittington, 78 years old, hit by a spray of birdshot fired by Cheney while the men were quail hunting Saturday in Texas. British military police have made an arrest today in connection with what appears to be a videotape beating of prisoners in Iraq. A top Iraqi official says he wants to talk with the Iraqi victims to see whether they want to pursue charges against these accused soldiers. The president of Iraq condemned the apparent abuse, but he says he's pleased with Britain's quick response. A British commander confirmed an investigation into what they call disturbing images. Authorities have not said who was arrested. The video, first reported by a British newspaper, seems to show soldiers dragging several young Iraqis into a compound, then beating them with fists and batons. A federal judge today ruled the government can stop paying for the hotels to house hurricane evacuees. A civil rights lawyer who argued against the move says it'll put as many as 10,000 or 12,000 families out of their hotels. But the government says evacuees will still get federal aid to help with their housing needs. This is the second group of evacuees to lose FEMA financing of their hotel rooms last week. Occupants of about 4,500 rooms lost their funding. Government investigators, meanwhile, say FEMA overpaid for hotel rooms after Hurricane Katrina. Two audits say millions of taxpayer dollars were wasted. Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist says he's planning to have a vote in early June on a constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriage, a move likely to fail, but it may cause a big election year debate. Frist says he's planning the vote for the week of June 5th, he says. That's because he wants to deal with the issue as early as possible, he says, before the Senate calendar fills up in a busy office. This is Air America Radio.
first priority, making sure that Harry Whittington, Mr. Whittington, was getting the medical care that he needed. I think.
Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. Going to be a short week. We're off Friday. So whatever we're going to do this week, we have to do it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, okay? Somebody at Democratic Underground has tagged this perfectly. It's called Fuddgate, F-U-D-D, like an Elmer Fudd. You wascally rabbit, I'm going to show you! Before we get too far in the program tonight, welcome to Buffalo, New York, who is now part of the Air America family, 1270 WHLD. Glad to have folks up in the snow belt join us.
Yes, welcome to all of you who have electricity. We appreciate you sitting around the radio with your electricity. I'll shut up now.
That voice you just heard, for you Buffalo listeners, you won't hear it very often, I promise. That was our producer, Kathy Bay. Fuddgate, as in Elmer Fudd. Yeah, it's astonishing, isn't it? It's not astonishing. Yes, it is. No, it is. No, it is. Yes, of course. No, it's not. Yes, it is. Everything about this incident has been said that needs to be said. It's going to continue to be talked about for a while, but what the hell? We're the last one on the air of any consequence up until midnight tonight, so we have to take our shot at it, too, right? I mean, till 1 o'clock in the morning, but 1 o'clock in the morning, it's tomorrow, and never mind. Was Cheney drinking? Probably not. You know, when your heart is just hanging by a thread, you know, you're not going to drink anything stronger than maybe not even hot chocolate, maybe some skim milk warmed up to body temperature. But I love what happened at the press briefing today with Scott McCullen. You talk about a guy looking like a, no pun intended, deer in the headlights, or quail down Cheney's, what was it, a 28-gauge shotgun? Jesus, you could put one of those in your mouth and pull the trigger and nothing would happen. Well, okay, yes, it would blow the back of your head off, but you know what I'm saying. How bad was Mr. Whittington hit? Hurt? Who knows? Who cares other than Mr. Whittington and his immediate family? Cheney doesn't care. Bush doesn't care. Jesus. But you knew this was going to happen, didn't you? Cheney likes to kill things. Cheney doesn't go hunting. Cheney doesn't do what those of us who hunt small game do. Now, for those of you who are morally opposed to hunting, just tune out for a few minutes and come back, okay? I'm sorry. I really do apologize. I was brought up in Ohio, and I've done a lot of small game hunting. But Cheney likes to kill things. The hunt part of it has nothing to do with it. Pheasant hunting, for those of you who've done it in the Midwest, in the South too, whatever. Pheasant hunting in the fall is a pretty cool experience, unless you happen to be the bird. But what the hell? Everything dies, right? Everything dies. All right. So, but we used to go hunting parents of the woman I was married to at the time. Parents had a farm in Dover, Pennsylvania. That's right, the Dover, Pennsylvania, where they just had. But it was back off the Butter Road, and it was about a 40-acre farm. Half of it was planted in hay and corn, and they had a farmer come over and for Havies, he would do the planting and the tilling and the harvesting, but it had been a workable farm, and we had barns there and outbuildings and usually stabled at least three or four, maybe five horses there at any given time, maybe one of which or two of which would be owned by the family. The other ones were just being quartered there by people who lived in town in York. Okay, that's the setting. Very, very nice to go out there in the fall. And it was in the hills, not far from Three Mile Island, not far from the Susquehanna River. And in the fall, we would go pheasant hunting. By we, I mean I and my wife at the time, her brother, Pat. Pat and I would go pheasant hunting. And one time I took my brother, Pat, never do that again. That was too weird. But we would go out, and we had about a 25-acre cornfield, and when the corn had been cut down, all I had out there was stubble, and then a woods at the bottom of the cornfield, and the pheasants would come in along about dusk. They would come in to roost in the trees in the woods. So they would still be feeding in the cornfield, though. So we would go out there and walk very quietly through the cornfield until we spooked them up, and then we'd shoot them. And if we got lucky, we'd kill a couple and then soak them, you know, pick out the bird shot. Well, we used 12-gauge shotgun, but we'd pick out the shot, soak them in salt water overnight to get the real ugly, nasty, gamey taste out. And then the next morning, before we went to church, my ex-wife's mother would, you know, put them in the oven on low heat. And by the time we came back from this country church, about 2 hours later, the house would just be filled with this just fantastic aroma of a couple of baked pheasant. All that by way of saying, been there, done that, know what you do when you're out bird hunting. One thing you don't do ever is not let your hunting companions know where you are. Because you're hunting birds, and they fly up and flutter and flap, and you've got to have a bit of control, because when that sound goes up, there you go, you know, you bring your rifle, your shotgun up, and so that's the setting. I can just imagine Dick Cheney, who doesn't hunt, he kills. He's out there for one reason only. He likes to kill things. Now, Cheney has a reputation like a lot of these Republicans. I think Limbaugh's done this. I think other members, I know Fat Tony Scalia has done it. Several overweight Republicans. You know, hunting, if you are stalking or hunting, think of the word hunt. You're hunting. You're not riding up and down some track someplace in an SUV or an Escalade. With your window down, firing out the window. That's what these lard-ass Republicans do. Because when you go hunting, you have to be mobile. You have to walk. That's the whole idea. You know, you walk. You shoulder your weapon. You take extra shells with you, and you walk. Cheney doesn't walk. If he walks too far, he'll keel over with a heart attack. Besides, how far can you walk when you've got a medical team with you? And no feet. He's only got 1 foot left, doesn't he? And a defibrillator. And God knows what else he's got attached to his decaying, rusting, falling apart, slabby, flabby body. So there he is, out there for one reason. To kill! I want to kill! Cheney does not go hunting like a normal hunter. He goes murdering. And his reputation is he likes to go, like a lot of Republicans, to these game preserves or reserves or whatever you want to call it, where the animals are, it's almost like going to a petting zoo. You know, the Republicans get out of their caravan of 12-wheel drive vehicles and stand there, and the beaters halfway across the field start pounding on the ground. Yeah, it's just like the old British Raj, where the beaters would chase the lions into the white hunters, who would be sitting on top of an elephant and go, pow! So the beaters start pounding on the ground at these hunting reserves for the porky Republicans, and here come the birds and the bunnies and the possums and deer and whatever else might be there, and then the Republicans just there and kill them. Just sit there and kill them, you know, when they come running up. You know, it's like, it really like Bambi. It's really like Chicken Little. It's really like, you know, little cartoon characters of animals, because these are animals. They live in a game preserve. They have no idea that they're about to die. What was it? Was it a couple of years ago? Cheney went pheasant hunting someplace and bagged 200 of them? Jesus Christ, what do you do with 200 pheasants? In most states, the limit, you know, you're allowed to carry maybe 6 or 7. You're allowed to shoot maybe 3. Cheney goes out and murders 200 or 300. Hey, I killed them sons of bitches today. I killed them sons of bitches today. I killed them sons of bitches today. It's lust. That's all it is, lust. So there he was on Saturday, out killing stuff, and he almost killed a white Republican trial lawyer. I had a gun. Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? I had a gun. Nobody'd ever get shot, because everybody'd have a gun. Makes sense. Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? We wouldn't need the police no more, because everybody'd have a gun. Yeah, wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? Nobody'd ever get
get shot, because everybody'd have a gun.
Makes sense, wouldn't be free if everybody had a gun. We go out and shoot things, 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 we go out and shoot.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
I'm a woman. I like things like movies with dialogue and sweater sets. I like hot cocoa on a rainy day. I like the word cocoa. But most of all, I like my big fat hog. Which is why I have Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Geico covers most kinds of bikes and has money-saving discounts. Geico. That's nice.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
Welcome back to Sports Beat with me, Dan Stevens, and we've got Nancy on a car phone.
Dan, I just missed a turn. Now should I take a right or a left here?
You know this is Sports Beat, don't you?
To easily get back on track when you miss a turn, you want to ask TomTom, not Dan.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you where you're going.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
The governor likes to hunt rabbits. Sometimes those rabbits think they can hide from the governor. But eventually he smokes them out and gets them. And that's exactly what's happening to Mr. Bin Laden.
What? Fudgate. What else are you going to call it, huh? What else are you going to call it? Fudgate. But I was just commenting a bit on what Republican government officials and corporate officials, you know, lazy lard-ass bastards who don't understand the theory behind hunting at all. What's the theory behind it? First is a lust to kill, which seems to exist in the hearts of most males and quite a few females. And secondly, I guess, is the desire to eat what you kill. And I may have it all completely wrong. Maybe it's a holdover from the time when it was necessary to kill in order to survive. But Cheney and the rest of these people, these well-padded Republicans, that's not the reason they go hunting. It's not really hunting. The animals can be tranquilized to a degree. They can be illegally imported big game animals from South Asia or from Africa, animals that should not be hunted, animals on endangered species lists, but they're brought in to give these guys a thrill. But it's not hunting, it's killing. It's not hunting, it's murdering. And that's what Cheney likes to do. It comes with the office. It's part of the perk. It's what he didn't get when he worked in Nixon and the Ford administration. He didn't have the absolute power, the power of over life and death, over animals and clutches of people and individual people. Now he has it, so he's exercising it. The shot at Mr. Whittington, it didn't matter. You know, everybody's got their bloomers in a wad about, well, why did it take 24 hours to tell the public? Screw the public. This is not the public. This is Cheney. This is Cheney world. As far as the police down there in, back-ass Texas or wherever this happened, they don't care. What? The vice president shot some. Oh, damn, that's funny. Did it get him? Get him bad? Oh, it hit him with from a 28-gauge. Oh, hell with that. Hell with that. That doesn't mean nothing. That ain't nothing. Damn. Cheney shot him? That's funny. Is the boy dead? It doesn't matter to these people. Nothing matters. Murdering tens of thousands of people, tens of thousands of people in the Middle East doesn't matter. Murdering 26, 27, up to close to 3,000 Americans doesn't matter. Almost killing some white Republican 78-year-old trial lawyer doesn't matter. Why should it matter? He got in the way. You notice how the shift is on poor old Mr. Whittington. Can you imagine giving somebody, here's a ageist position. All you old people now, jump in my case. Go ahead. Can you imagine giving somebody, 78 years old, a loaded weapon? And going hunting for Christ's sake? You want to be in that hunting party? Hey, Pops, can you see me? Hold still, boy. As I'm moving in my sight, it's me, you old bastard. Don't shoot! Boom! Going hunting with somebody approaching 80. Jesus! God! And going after little bitty birds. Now that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Yeah. Hey, Mr. Whittington, can you see over? I got one. No, sir, that's the truck we've been riding out here. Oh, I thought it was a bird! So they blame it on poor old Mr. Whittington. They say he came walking up on Cheney's blind side. What the hell is Cheney's blind side? Everything that's not right in front of him. Isn't it? So Cheney hears a noise behind him, turns, and Cheney being Cheney, pulls the trigger!
Is something back there? Is it dead? It's not dead. It's just bleeding.
And the way it's described, this guy gets hit in the cheek, the neck, the chest, the right side, and it's described as, oh, he just got hit. Just little bitty pellets. They're just little bitty pellets. A suicide bomber uses little bitty pellets. It's just little bitty pellets. Did Cheney think a bird was sneaking up from behind, ready to pounce? He's a murderer. He's a killer. It doesn't matter if it's narcotic-induced game or birds that from birth have a few of their tail feathers clipped so they can never fly sufficiently. That's what these Republicans go hunt. They're not going to go out there. Yeah, they don't have the time to begin with, and it's not about hunting. It's about murdering. 200, 300 pheasant. Isn't that what he got last time? Oh, that's good. Well, like I said in my blog today, I have a suggestion, one that might settle once and forever Cheney's interest in killing and death. Huh? Arm him and armor him to the extent that our soldiers are armed and trained and protected in Iraq, and surround him with one of those combat-ready units of Iraqis he's always talking about, you know, American units are ready to step up so Americans can step down, right? Put him in a standard Humvee, and send him to, say, Fallujah, and let him do his hunting there.
Bang, bang, he shot me down. Bang, bang, I hit the ground. Bang, bang, that awful sound. Bang, bang, my baby shot me.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
No matter what you do, work can be stressful. And all that stress might cause you to grind your teeth at night. So why not go out and buy yourself a doctor's night guard, the dental protector you wear at night to cushion and save your teeth and put all that grinding to a stop. Just like that. Relieve the nightly grind with the doctor's night guard in the oral care section.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement. And now we're trying to develop a civil rights movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
Hi, my name is Millie. I'm a real person from Chicago. I have been fighting my weight for many years. After hearing an inspirational radio commercial about a mother from Florida who lost 100 pounds using all-natural H57 Hoodia, I was empowered to try it. H57 helped me lose over 65 pounds. When I pass by a mirror, I can't help but smile. Thanks, H57. I love seeing myself smile.
Call now for your risk-free supply of H57 Hoodia. Call 1-877-H57-DIET. Try it risk-free for 30 days or visit myh57.com.
End your day screaming with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
26 before the hour. Just for the record, I don't hunt anymore, and it's not because I don't like tramping across southeastern Pennsylvania fields on a cold, cloudy November day. It's because I've just gotten over it, because when you get right down to it, it's just weird, you know. Now, I know, before you say, do you eat chicken, or do you eat hamburger, or whatever, I know. But there is something about that whole born-free thing, right? I know a lot of people mock that and say, another hug-a-bunny liberal. But no, I don't do it anymore. This is Dateline Austin, Texas. This is from the Eagle News Service. It says the White House revealed today that Vice President Dick Cheney foiled yet another terrorist attack Saturday when he wounded and captured a confirmed al-Qaeda operative. The vice president proved himself a combat hero once again in a running gun battle across South Texas. He single-handedly stopped a plot to import a truckload of shoe bombs from Iran through Mexico. He's quoted as saying, it was easy to spot the terrorists since they had labeled the shoes made in USA, and everybody knows we don't allow anything to be made here anymore. Previously, the administration had released a cover story stating that the vice president had shot one of his own hunting party when trying to shoot caged game birds, the tame farm-raised birds didn't realize they should fly away, thinking Cheney was the old farmer who fed them. They flew straight at him, and he started firing wildly in self-defense. Yeah. And this, a friend who remained anonymous unless he decides to claim credit, has unearthed some additional facts about the incident in which Cheney shot and critically wounded a hunting companion on Saturday. These new facts are being kept quiet by the mainstream media. And first, the attorney general claims that the vice president was granted the power to shoot lawyers under the resolution allowing use of force in Afghanistan. Second, Cheney is refusing to cooperate with local investigators, but has briefed four senior members of Congress. Third, the Pentagon claims that there are already sufficient supplies of body armor for wealthy Texas lawyers, but will be expediting existing contracts. Fifth, based on a report from an Iraqi exile group, a special White House intelligence group had advised the vice president that the lawyer was Osama bin Laden in disguise. Fifth, Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld agrees that it would have been better if the vice president had shot Osama. However, he added, you can't always shoot what you choose to shoot. Sometimes you have to shoot what's there to be shot. Sixth, the White House released a statement that the administration will benefit from having at least one member with experience in a live-fire situation now. Seventh, President Bush commented, you're doing half a job, Dickie. And last, vice president's standing and reputation have been removed under Secret Service protection to an undisclosed location. All this comes from Rich in PA. Oh, God. Sunday, when the story broke, Sunday, I don't know, what time was it, Kathy? Around noon or something? And I think I was down in the basement playing with a kid or something in the playroom, and I heard Kathy shriek down the steps something that contained a sentence that contained the words Cheney and shot. And immediately it was like a 1,000-pound weight had been lifted off my back. I thought I heard angels singing. I reached down and scooped up Molly and swung her up in the air and said, baby, honey, guess what? And at that point, Kathy came pounding down the steps and grabbed me, and she said, no, 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 no. He shot someone. And the rest of the day, even though it was bright and sunny here in Atlanta, the rest of the day was just kind of dark and morose. And I've told Kathy before, don't get my hopes up. It's, you know. All right, we want you to hear just a little bit about what the quacking quackaroo had to say today about all this. Simple Scotty waddled into a mess today and then was peppered with questions. At least it wasn't birdshot he was peppered with, right?
Oh, it's just birdshot. What? Little teeny tiny pellets.
He got all kinds of questions about Dick the Killer Cheney's little illegal hunting trip Saturday. Here's lie number 3,743 from Simple Scotty, and that's just this year. Listen as he claims Raisin Brain didn't know on Saturday that Cheney shot a friend of his. Now, bear in mind that according to the Chicago Tribune and other sources, Bush was informed Saturday night that Cheney had accidentally shot a hunting companion and friend of the president's with quote, birdshot, end quote, while hunting quail at this ranch in South Texas. The reporter says, Scott, do you think, now I want you, when we get the answer, listen as the lame duck tries to reason that no one told the press for nearly 24 hours because they were all obsessed with getting the victim some medical attention. Oh, for Christ's sake. You know, it takes 5 minutes. Anyway, the reporter says, Scott, do you think that the shooting accident involving the vice president on Saturday should have been disclosed to the public on Saturday?
Well, I think that the first priority, making sure that Harry Whittington, Mr. Whittington, was getting the medical care that he needed. And I think that's where everybody's attention should have been focused and was focused when the hunting accident took place.
Right.
And, you know, in terms of here in Washington, there was information that we were continuing to learn about throughout the course of that evening and into early Sunday morning.
He got immediate medical attention. Aside from medical attention, which I'm sure was swift, isn't there a public disclosure requirement that should have kicked in immediately?
Well, and the vice president's office was working to make sure information got out. We learned additional information overnight, as I said, throughout the night. We were learning additional information here in Washington. The vice president spoke with Mrs. Catherine Armstrong, and they agreed that she should make that information public. She was an eyewitness. She saw what occurred, and she called her local paper to provide those facts to the local paper.
Oh, is that how you do it down in South Texas? Somebody gets shot in a hunting accident, and you find the lady who owns the farm. Lady, come here. We have one down over here. Oh, my goodness, you certainly do, don't you? Listen, it involves the vice president, the Republican Party, Al-Qaeda, Osama bin Laden. Listen, can you make a phone call? Not now. Can you wait until after we've all cleared out and make a phone call? Who should I call? The sheriff? Oh, no. Who should I call? The hospital? No. We've already done that. We're going to register him under a fake name. I'll tell you what. Call your local paper here. Well, we don't have a daily. What do you have? It only comes out once a month. Okay, go ahead and call them. They have a website? What's that? Well, just tell them to put it up on their website that one of Dick Cheney's hunting companions got peppered. Let's see, how do we go to that? Peppered. That's a good word. Peppered with birdshot. Okay. Is that it? That's it. That's all you want me to do. That's all we want you to do. What did the quacking quackaroo say that the vice president's office was working to make sure the information got out? You want to know how you make sure the information gets out, Scott? You pick up a phone, that would be a cell phone, and you dial the number of the Dallas, Texas Associated Press office. That's all.
Could I speak to whoever's on the national desk this afternoon? Good, thank you. Listen, Dick Cheney just shot some. Bang! It's all over the world!
Working to make sure the information got out. David Gregory, reporter, isn't buying the story that no one told the press of the shooting because they were preoccupied with Mr. Whittington's medical condition. Wait a second, I thought it was just peppered with birdshot. Oh, well. Flip-flop. Now, we all knew that Cheney had a temper. Maybe he was told that they were going to shoot quail and was disappointed to find out it wasn't Dan Quayle. Oh, no, you don't. And he still had a Jones on to shoot a man. So he picked the closest one nearby. And
The vice president of the United States accidentally shoots a man, and he feels that it's appropriate for a ranch owner who witnessed this to tell the local Corpus Christi newspaper and not the White House press corps to notify the public in a national way.
Well, I think we all know that once it is made public, then it's going to be news, and all of you are going to be seeking that information. And the vice president's office was ready to provide additional information to reporters. There was no traveling White House press corps with the vice president, as there is with the president in a situation like this. So there are some different circumstances. And the other circumstance here was that someone was injured and needed medical care. and the vice president's team was making sure he was getting taken care of and that he got to the hospital and received additional treatment.
Oh, well, he's just a man with a golden heart, isn't he, this Dick Cheney, huh, Scott? Oh, he was so concerned. What you didn't hear was David Gregory saying, well, first of all, McClellan says the vice president's office is ready to provide additional information. Reporters, there was no traveling. There were no reporters traveling, no White House press corps traveling with the vice president, as there is with the president in a situation like this. A situation like this? You mean Bush has shot somebody? No, it could be. And David Gregory said, well, that's a distinction without a difference. I mean, we all have Blackberries. Well, yeah. Plus, Dick Cheney has a hotline to the Mayo Clinic or, I don't know, Bethesda or Walter Reed or wherever they take this guy. He carries the football, doesn't he? Who handles the football when Dick Cheney is killing, trying to kill people? Who has the code, the launch codes, when Dick Cheney is trying to blow away a trial lawyer?
When all else fails, let's blow something up. When all else fails, let's blow something up.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
There were dark days of tax preparation, my friends, where you had to run around, get forms, or go to a franchise tax store and pay through the nose. But those days are over. There's this thing called the Internet and this website called TurboTax.com. Now you don't go to your taxes. Your taxes come to you. TurboTax asks you simple questions and fills out all the right forms. It checks for errors and calculations are guaranteed accurate. Now that's what I call progress. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
Hi, I'm John. Like most moms, my wife Maggie makes sacrifices for the kids and me every day. After reading an article about another mom from Florida who lost 100 pounds using all-natural H57 Hoodia, she decided to finally do something for herself. She tried H57 Hoodia, and it worked. I've never seen her happier. Since she started taking H57 Hoodia, we can't keep up with her. Look, to me, she's always been beautiful, but now you can tell she feels that way, too. Thanks, H57. I love seeing Maggie smile.
Call now and try H57 Hoodia risk-free at 877-H57-DIET or visit myh57.com.
a soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
Back to the briefing today. I love Scotty's answer about the local sheriff's inquiry into Cheney's killing spree. Reporter says, Scott, there's a report coming out of a sheriff's deputy there who said that he was prevented from interviewing the vice president. He was prevented by the Secret Service. Do you know anything about that? And is that appropriate?
No, I don't know anything about that. You had to direct that to the Secret Service. My understanding was that Secret Service took the appropriate steps to inform law enforcement.
Yeah, right. Okay, I know that.
Yeah, right after they sobered him up.
Still skeptical. Reporters keep asking Scotty about the timing. I mean, we all know what a super secret guy Cheney is, but hey, this is ridiculous.
I mean, this happens at 5:30 on Saturday, and you're saying that until the morning, the President of the United States...
No, I didn't say that. I said there's additional information coming in later that evening and into the morning hours of Sunday.
When did the president know that the vice president was a shooter? What time?
Again, there's additional information coming in that night. And the details continue to come in throughout the morning, into the Sunday morning time period.
The vice president did not call the president to tell him he was the shooter?
Oh, I love those questions. Oh, my God. Now, this is my favorite exchange. And I realize this is a waste of time. I know there are serious things going on in the world. But we got to do this because these sons of bitches get away with anything, everything. You know, how often does this happen? Who are they going to try to take out the next time, right? Now, this is my favorite exchange. Simple Scotty squares off with David King. John King. Or David Gregory. And no matter how ridiculous the medical attention rationale is, Scotty's sticking to his guns. Oh, bad metaphor. Anyway, it begins. David Gregory says, wait, hold on. That'd make a title for a good program. Wait, hold on. Human beings are not normally this inefficient. I mean, was the vice president immediately clear that he had accidentally shot his friend and the president's friend or not? You make it seem like there's all this information that had to develop.
I wouldn't suggest that at all. I'm sure that was the case. I mean, I think
Mrs.
Armstrong was there and saw it and saw the incident.
Had to trickle in.
Well, David, again, what's important when it happened was to make sure that medical care was getting to Mr. Whittington. That's where all the attention was focused, and making sure he was getting to the hospital.
Everybody agrees that that's fine.
That's correct.
And it didn't seem to me that would take an inordinate amount of time.
This is happening Saturday evening.
So you've got a situation room here. You've got people who monitor stuff. It's impossible to find out. I mean, the vice president knew immediately. Oh no, I've shot somebody accidentally, and it takes 20 hours.
You know what his first reaction was? His first reaction was go to Mr. Whittington and get his team in there to provide him medical care.
Why is it that it took so long for the president, for you, for anybody else to know that the vice president accidentally shot him?
Well, early the next morning, Mrs. Armstrong reached out to the Corpus paper. That's her local
out?
Paper to provide them information. Well,
no.
Listen again to what I said. First priority is making sure Mr. Whittington is receiving medical care.
Ah, shut up!
Clear.
Oh, God have mercy. Oh, the first thing is to make sure poor old Mr. Whittington received proper medical care. Oh, that's what we're all focused on. All things considered. Was All Things Considered tonight? Was it NPR tonight? I played this bit of audio that I find too comically ironic not to play for you. Here Cheney is speaking to some pro-gun group of, drooling, mouth-breathing, give me some to kill, gun nuts, probably the NRA, and is dissing John Kerry for his admittedly wimpy Johnny-come-lately decision to become a sportsman and go on a goose hunt in Ohio back just before the last presidential election.
Senator wore a new camouflage jacket for the occasion, which made me wonder how often he'd been goose hunting before.
Like
my
you, huh?
Sportsman, the cover-up isn't going to work because you and I know the Second Amendment is more than just a photo opportunity.
Oh, yeah. It's a license to shoot anybody and anything that comes your way. I'm still trying to figure out how Cheney mistook a 6-foot-tall, 78-year-old lawyer for a quail. I know Cheney's body parts are rejecting one after another, but maybe his eyes are starting to defect. Oh, make fun of at least the geese that Kerry went to shoot weren't narcoticized before they were turned loose. The little tummies hadn't been tickled before they were set out to be killed by a psychopathic freak like you, dick. Jesus. From Bob Geiger's blog, Top 10 Excuses for Shooting Fellow Hunter Harry Whittington, Dick Cheney's top 10. Number 10, sick and tired of Whittington's, hey, I'm having a heart attack jokes. Number 9, pushed over the edge by Dixie Chicks and Barbra Streisand blasting on the pickup truck stereo. Number 8, ongoing dispute over whether it's acceptable to torture quail before shooting them. Number 7, thought he saw Scooter Libby on the other side of the tree line. Number 6, bombed out of his gourd on Wild Turkey and Lone Star Beer. Number 5, companion's ill-advised decision to wear MoveOn.org sweatshirt. Number 4, was trying to impress Jodie Foster. Number 3, Whittington's repeated ribbing that Bush is actually the real president. Number 2, targeting scope-on rifle made by Halliburton. And the number 1 reason Dick Cheney almost blew away his hunting companion, Harry Whittington, because he's a wartime vice president. Damn it.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
The Nation Minute on Air America Radio.
To truly understand conservatives, you need to experience them in their element. The largest such gathering of true believers is the annual Conservative Political Action Conference, which took place this weekend in Washington, D.C. I stopped by on Friday afternoon, hoping to catch Kansas Senator Sam Brownback bash gay marriage. He didn't show, but luckily Ann Coulter was on the menu later in the day. She didn't disappoint, characterizing Muslims as ragheads, comparing moderate Republicans to slave plantations, and wishing she'd assassinated Bill Clinton. All of which won her rousing applause. Afterwards, I walked by the booth of one man opposed to affirmative action in South Africa, of all places. Much to my surprise, he was not a fan of the current Republican Party. When told of Coulter's speech, he responded, "My friend warned me about her." Even white nationalists from South Africa are more mainstream than Republican activists in this country. For more, visit thenation.com.
Hi, I'm David
Ari Berman for
When you purchase
America.
My new 8-pound Oreck XL upright vacuum, you also get a great gift. For everything above the floor, I'll give you my Oreck Super Compact Canister. It's so powerful it'll pick up a bowling ball. Try them free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. After all, why settle for one vacuum? With Oreck, you can get two. 1-800-989-4200.
I'm Ben, and this is Psychic Connection, your source for spirits and paranormal. The caller is Meredith.
Ben, what's the easiest way to get around a city I've never been to?
The answer is kind of murky.
For the easiest route to any address in America, you want to ask TomTom, not Ben.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Easily moved from car to car. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
Crowley.
Discharging troops under the Pentagon's policy on gays cost over $363 million over 10 years, almost double what the government concluded a year ago. A private report by University of California Blue Ribbon Commission questioned the methodology the Government Accountability Office used when they made the estimate of the financial impact of Don't Ask, Don't Tell as being $190.5 million. Congress approved the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy in 1993 during the Clinton administration. It allows gays and lesbians to serve in the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marine Corps as long as they abstain from gay activity and don't disclose their sexual orientation. The Bush administration today pushed hard against criticism of the response to Hurricane Katrina made by ex-FEMA Chief Michael Brown and congressional investigators. Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff said unequivocally and strongly he rejected suggestions his agency was preoccupied with terror threats at the expense of preparing for natural disasters. The response came as a Republican-written House report blamed government-wide ineptitude for mishandling Hurricane Katrina relief. A report by the investigative arm of Congress, the Government Accountability Office, reached similar conclusions and singled out Michael Chertoff for delays. Brown testified before a Senate committee last week that he issued repeated warnings to the White House and Department of Homeland Security the day the hurricane struck, August 29th, that levees had failed and New Orleans was seriously flooding. George Bush and other federal officials have said they didn't know until the next day, August 30th, the levees had breached. Some 12,000 families whose hotel rooms will no longer be paid directly by FEMA. A judge today upheld the plan to give them checks they can use to pay for accommodations themselves or fix up their homes. Government investigators, meanwhile, say FEMA overpaid for hotel rooms after Hurricane Katrina. They say the government was billed for $438 hotel rooms in New York City and $375 condos in Florida. Two audits say millions of dollars, taxpayer dollars, were wasted. They found as many as 900,000 applicants for aid under an emergency cash program used duplicate or invalid Social Security numbers or gave false names and addresses. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. We're going to move on here in just a second because we do have a couple items that need at least some attention and your phone calls. I'm looking at the board here, and I see we have about 15 people on hold, so we're coming in momentarily, I promise. And again, we'd like to welcome Buffalo, New York, 1270 WHLD, which has joined the Air America family as of today. Is that right, Kathy? And we are very pleased that the people in Buffalo, New York now have the choice between insane talk radio and normal, rational, funny talk radio. A good friend of ours from KTLK in Los Angeles, who happens to be the host of Harrison on the Edge. He's subbed for me once or twice. He has his own program at KTLK in Los Angeles. He's joining us now to share his remix of a song in honor of Dick Cheney. So, Harrison, are you there?
I sure am, and congratulations, by the way, on Buffalo. That is totally awesome.
Isn't it? I mean, we're just thrilled. That's almost as good as getting Bowling Green, Ohio.
Well, you know, it matches.
Actually, it's a lot better. I spent a month one night in Buffalo, so I know it's a great city.
It really is awesome. And, you know, there's about as much snow here in Florida as there is up there. It is 42 degrees. I'm down at the very lower left side, which is Naples, Florida, which has, I think, the most amount of Republicans per capita on Earth.
Well, why are you in Florida? I thought you were in L.A.
Well, I am, but I came down to help my parents move. So I'm
Okay.
A familial maintenance and buying guns, because you could walk around and go into the 7-Eleven with a shotgun like Dick Cheney and just have a hell of a good time.
Yeah, you can. You certainly can in Florida. That's true. Now, Kathy tells Linda, our mutual friend, who also is a producer at KTLK, I believe. What inspired you to remix this song?
Well, it was done by a guy named RX, who's really brilliant and fastidious and obviously spends way too much time suffering through the grunts and warbles of the average Republican to put these things together. And he did kind of a very long version, and it was really filthy. And, oh, my good heavens, it was great, of course.
Right.
So I felt that we really needed to do switch phrases around and just make a nice radio remix, proper and appropriate for the great eardrums that focus on Air America.
All right, so you did take out all the MFs and the not the SOBs, that's okay, but the MFs and the BSs and the all those kinds of words.
Yeah, totally. And then we aired it on KTLK, and as you can imagine, people thrilled to the joyride of swinging Dick Cheney being who he is.
Yeah, well, we all do, don't we? All right, do you want to play this for us now, Harrison?
Yeah, fire away.
Let's listen to it.
Mr. Speaker, members of Congress, Mom and Dad, last month a girl in Lincoln, Rhode Island sent me a letter. It began, "Dear George W. Bush, if there's anything you know, please send me a letter. P.S. Kiss my ass.
Heresy.
I believe that God made me a woman. I feel it in my heart. And this bitch's voice must be heard. A sex change is the only certain way to preserve the sanctity of marriage. We are living in historic times. We are living in a time of great change. Our leadership and resolve can light the way for others. And having come this far, and the unfolding of the years, this country has a new friend called Vice President Cheney. Dick is a killer. 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 Vice President Cheney, you showed the way. Terrified and innocent, the desire growing stronger, activity is increasing, and Dick is on the rise. By executive order along the manhunt aboard the Starship Enterprise, Dick is a killer. 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 Dick. Yourself. Kiss my ass.
Heresy.
And I want you. It's difficult to talk about. And I want you, because you set me free. And I want you. And I want you. And I want you. Suck my dick.
My ass. Dick is a killer. Dick is a killer. Dick is a killer. Dick is a killer. Dick, 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 dick is a killer. I feel free. I feel free. I feel free. I feel free. Dick, 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 dick is a killer.
Harrison on the edge.
Oh, my God.
And here's the cool part that you hear in there. We know that Dick Cheney is, I'm not Dick Cheney, Bush, the president, is drinking again.
Yeah.
And we had Larry Flynt on the show, and he's got sources, of course, in the White House, and it's confirmed the guy's, you know, got the neck back, the bottle of vodka to the throat, just guzzling it down.
Right.
Well, you heard him say, kiss my bleep, and et cetera,
right, right.
et cetera. Imagine if Bill Clinton told the press or anybody in public, hey, kiss my, that would have been the headline on the New York Times. He would have been dragged out in chains and shot on the lawn.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'll tell you what, that's a great remix, and that, I'm going to have to retire my old ABBA Dancing Queen and use this now when Kathy and I really want to get funky.
It's just wrong, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. All right, well, Harrison, thank you so much. Harrison on the Edge, KTLK. When's your program on?
We're on Saturday nights, 7 to 10 Pacific, and we podcast all the time through our website, which is GoHarrison.com. One word, GoHarrison.com.
What's coming up on your next program?
Well, we've got a couple of senators coming up this weekend, and we have Warren Beatty, I believe, too.
Oh, yeah?
Love him.
Yeah, I certainly hear that. All right, well, listen, Harrison, thank you so much. Always good to hear from you. Take care. I wish I was well, you're not in L.A. You're down in Venice, Florida.
In Naples. You don't want to be here, trust me.
I don't.
My kind doesn't work.
No, I'm hip. I just don't care for – the only part of Florida I like is up in the panhandle on the beaches, and that's really South Alabama, so it really doesn't matter. But have fun when you get back to L.A. and tell Linda we all said hey, okay?
I sure will.
Thanks, Harrison.
Take care, my friend.
Harrison on the Edge, LA's KTLK. You hear him on the weekends. What a great show. What a great radio personality. This young man has a future. Let me tell you. This guy has a future in radio.
Unlike Dick Cheney.
Unlike a lot of us. Harrison on the Edge. Remember that. Remember that. Remember that. All right. A couple of quick calls on Cheney here, and then I do want to move on. So let's start with Will, who's called in from Michigan. Will, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Will.
You know, I don't see how Cheney could make such a stupid mistake. I mean, Whittington doesn't look anything like Dan Quayle.
No, he doesn't. Not even close.
I figured out why the troops don't have body armor. Cheney's hunting buddies bought it all up.
They will in the future. They definitely will in the future. There's no question about it. All right, Will, thanks. Thanks for checking in, pal. I appreciate it. And the other thing about Whittington, he's not like Dan Quayle. Dan Quayle has such a purdy face. Dave is calling from Chicago. Dave, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, I think they ought to have another song in Cheney's honor. They need to rename that Aerosmith song, Janie's Got a Gun, to Cheney's Got a Gun.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
This
absolutely.
Guy is unbelievable. You know, the when I read about that today and I heard about that, I was actually looking on a website. There's a website I follow called Citizens to Abolish Sport Hunting, and there's a part in there that talks about, like, hunting accidents.
Uh-huh.
And on this very day that happened, they also, because you talked about an 80-year-old guy hunting, they had a 59-year-old guy that shot and killed his 13-year-old grandson.
Oh, I know, it's awful.
He was so preoccupied with getting the deer that he didn't get his grandson help till long after the kid was dead.
Jesus. Oh, I could have gone all night without hearing that story.
I mean, you know, what the heck's going on?
I know. It happens all the time. The saddest, most ironic killings are those, I think, that occur in a hunting party. And it's always sad to me when it's a kid, for sure. Hey, thanks. Got a boogie. Dave, thank you for checking in. We'll be right back, Truth Seekers. I'm Mike Malloy.
Hair color yellow. Watch a trend. Here. listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Larry King here. You may have heard news about vitamin E lately. If you're like me and you believe in taking vitamin E to protect your health, here's something you should know. There's one vitamin E that's different. It's all natural ester E. Only ester E protects its antioxidant benefits until your body's ready to use it. You get more than protection. You get advanced protection. Ester protection. Look for advanced protection ester E and ester C everywhere vitamins are sold.
Know the greatest phrase ever invented in shopping? No, it's not, I'll just wait in the car. The greatest phrase is, no thanks, I'm just looking. I mean, what freedom, what liberation. What a great way to buy car insurance. In fact, why not do some looking right now? Go to GEICO.com. It's quick, it's easy, and you could save hundreds. You know, saving money looks good on you. GEICO.com. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Mike Malloy Show, you are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
Twenty-one past the hour. Unbelievable. Just It is so, this shooting is so indicative of this corrupt, stupid-ass administration, except for the fact that they, their footprint, how did that term ever work its way into the language where it means anything other than a footprint, but it's there. Their footprint, these neo-fascists, is going to remain for an awful long time. A couple of emails here very quickly. This is from Bob at Head On Radio. Have you been to that? I asked you to go to that website. Did you go? Head On Radio, like Head On Collision, headonradio.com. And you can hear Bob's program archived at whiterosesociety.org. Anyway, Bob writes in, Mike, Jesus, we both know that in hunting there is no blind side. What he's referring to is the rich white lady who owned the farm. The ranch, the killing ground, told whomever would listen. I don't know at what point she became the spokesman for the Bush crime family, but she said that poor old Mr. Whittington approached Cheney on his blind side. No, not when you're out hunting. Anyway, Bob writes, Jesus, we both know that in hunting there is no blind side. If you can't identify your target and what's behind it, you don't shoot. Leastways, that's what the NRA taught me. Blindside my ass. Yeah, I got taught by the good folks at the YMCA summer camp I used to go to, Bob, and then male relatives in the family, uncles, who took me out hunting. When I was in the NRA, it was only to, because I thought I was supporting something right, you know, proper. From Craig in Boone, North Carolina. Mike, while looking at patterns in history specifically regarding hunting or bloodlustful murder in Dick Cheney's case, I'm struck by the similarity between the neo-fascistic, corpulent, gullet-chinned, pale, pasty-white, stolen-wealth Republicans and their rich fake hunting reserves on one hand and the German Nazi hunters on the other hand. Hermann Göring, the original heinous pig boy, used to hunt with his fellow murderers on his hunting reserve. Isn't it coincidental that subhumans like all these criminals even hunt the same way for the same bloody reasons? Yeah. And then this from Bill. The part that, in South Carolina, the part that got to me during the press briefing was when reporters continually referred to Cheney as the shooter. Hilarious. Steve McQueen, he ain't. But if there ever was a better and more fitting mafia term for Vice President Satan, I don't know what that would be, the shooter. Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh. I just hope the next time he takes Bush with him. That's all. Is that asking too much? Just take George with him to go hunting.
To go hunting.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
What did you think on that?
Wasn't sure.
Well, yeah. I mean, to go hunting. You know, get a couple of those long neck Lone Stars in both of them. Clear. Joel is calling from Miami Beach. Joel, welcome to the program.
Hello, Mr. Malloy. How are you?
Hey, I'm just fine, Joel.
Good. My question was that what was the Secret Service doing during this hunting expedition? I mean, don't you think that there'd be someone there to cover his blind side with coming up on the vice president with a gun?
Yeah, well, what they were probably doing is ducking and covering. I mean, I don't know, Joel. You would think.
Yeah, but that would lead me to believe that there's something else involved, and they're not...
There always is with these people. There's always something else involved. Always. Always, always, always. Either Cheney was drunk. I don't know if you can drink with a pace feeler or whatever the hell they call those things in your chest. I have no idea. But, yeah, you're right. There's always something else involved with these evil bastards. Vice President Satan... I don't know. Maybe he just decided to shoot the old guy for fun.
Yeah, or whatever.
I know. But you're absolutely correct. And people are starting to ask that question also. Like, you know, oh, come on. What really happened? Because everyone knows these pigs lie. That's all they do about anything. And they lie for the same reason. I've said this before, that a male dog sits down at every possible chance and licks himself because he can.
Our president or vice president not having Secret Service around them that would take away someone with a shotgun?
Yeah, well, if they're in a hunting park, I don't know. I just don't know. And I meant no offense to any old people. You know, if God forbid, anything. Well, why am I saying it that way? I hope to hit the ripe old age of 78 too. But I guarantee you, if I'm 78, somebody asks me if I want to go hunting, I'm just going to say no. That's right. I think I'll sit here and rock for a while. You know. Hey, thanks, Joel. Take care. I appreciate you checking in. We'll be right back, folks.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. One of the best things about getting an 8-pound Orrick XL vacuum is what you don't get, namely, a cloud of dust in your face every time you turn it on or when you empty it, which means you won't get a house full of bacteria that travels on dust. Call 1-800-989-4200 for free literature or a free 30-day home trial. You'll breathe easier knowing it's an Orrick XL. 1-800-989-4200.
I am Dr. Jen, and I'm taking your love life calls. And here's Kevin. Go ahead.
Jen, what's the easiest way to get to 79 Williams Ave?
Follow your heart?
For the easiest route to any address, you want to ask TomTom, not Jen.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen, and a helpful voice guides you on your way.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement. And now we're trying to develop a civil rights movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
fish and humans can coexist peacefully. It's more of Mike Malloy.
Now, on the full realization that the Bush crime family doesn't allow something to be released unless they're trying to cover something else up, divert, you know, it's the old pat them on the back with one hand, pick their pocket with the other. So what was it Saturday that was to be covered up or our attention diverted from in order to get our jollies about Dick Cheney shooting some poor old white man with a bunch of birdshot? What was the story? Maybe it was this one. A company in the United Arab Emirates is poised to take over, I think it happened today, this story came out Saturday, poised to take over significant operations at six American ports as part of a corporate sale. And as Associated Press puts it, leaving a country with ties to the September 11th hijackers, if you believe the story, that would be the UAE, with influence over a maritime industry considered vulnerable to terrorism. Do you understand what's going on here? The United Arab Emirates, a company there called Dubai Ports World, DP World is what it's called. It's I don't know if it's British owned or London based or I have no idea. But this company that is, I mean, they're buying it from a London based company, the Peninsular and Oriental Steam Navigation Company. You don't have to try to remember all that. Just understand this. As of today, if the sale went through, and I don't have any energy to start looking through the British financial reports today, but this deal was supposed to go down today, where the ports of New York, New Jersey, Baltimore, New Orleans, Miami, and Philadelphia, port operations in those six U.S. ports will be under the control of a company from the United Arab Emirates. Now, how does this sort of thing happen? Well, in the first place, it probably doesn't mean anything. If we set aside the fact that the Bush crime family has created a monster for us to look at and go, oh my God, you know, that would be anyone who speaks Arabic or is from an Arab language country or not even Arabic, maybe just a Muslim country. The Bush crime family has created this monster. Now, not really, though, because when you stop and think that the Bush family's longtime partners in crime and business have been the Saudi royal family on the one hand and the Reverend Sun Myung Moon, the guy who thinks he's Jesus, on the other hand. What a combination, huh? So the Bush crime family has been doing business with the Saudi royal family just forever, and the Bin Laden family just forever. So the Bush crime family knows, hey, they're okay. You know, they're kind of funny. They don't treat their women right, but they have a lot of money, and they have great cuisine, and know how to party and have a good time. So nothing wrong with them. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, they create this boogeyman of the Arab terrorist in this country. I'm not saying that there aren't people in all over the world who throw bombs. You know, some of them speak Gaelic. So here we are. The United Arab Emirates has a company called DB World, Dubai Ports World. For almost $7 billion, this company purchased a London-based company that has been running U.S. ports. Now, in the first place, who would have thunk it? Who would have thunk that six United States ports are run by foreigners? Huh? And I don't care if the foreigners look and smell and talk just like us. That would be the British. All right, not quite talk like us. Even if they're Canadians, you know, why are foreign companies running our ports? I don't give a damn where the foreign. Well, that's part of NAFTA and GATT and whatever the acronyms are. This is the way it's done now. Okay, but what is ironic and nasty and ugly about this is that the Bush crime family they want us to believe that they're there to protect us. We are the most vulnerable country in the world. We're not the most vulnerable. We're as vulnerable as any other country. Now, if you buy into the terrible Arab terrorist story, which a good percentage of Americans do, then turning our ports over to an Arab country company doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense, does it? Now, how did it happen? Well, DP World said it won approval to buy this London-based company so that they can now take over six major U.S. ports. They won approval, here it comes, from a secretive U.S. government panel that considers security risks of foreign companies buying or investing in American industry, right? A secretive U.S. government panel. It's called the U.S. Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States. And it includes representatives from the Departments of Treasury, Defense, Justice, Commerce, State, and Homeland Security. Now think about it. Let that sink in for a second. Treasury Department, Defense Department, Justice Department, Commerce Department, State Department, and Homeland Security, they all sat down and said, well, what's wrong with Arab terrorists running our ports? Now, again, this is just buying into the mythology. I realize there are hot spots all over the globe where people are throwing bombs at each other and blowing each other up and murderizing each other. And some of them are Arabic, and some of them are Israeli, and some are British, and some are American, and some are Sri Lankan, and some are blah, 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 blah. But the story we've been told, you see, by the Bush crime family, you see, is that we have an enemy out there. And the enemy speaks Arabic. And the enemy looks a certain way and thinks a certain way. And then the Bush crime family turns over six of our ports to that person. Now, what does that say? It either says that the cover story is a filthy freaking lie. The Arab terrorist out to blow up America, or it says the Bush crime family is complicit in wanting to destroy America. How easy will it be to bring in the dirty bomb? Now, what is United Arab Emirates? It's not a country. It's a loose federation of six or seven counties, parishes, emirates, they call it, on the Saudi Peninsula. It was also an important operational and financial base for the hijackers who carried out the attacks against Washington and New York, if you believe the cover story. You see? So what does this tell you? If the government of George W. Bush really believes the lie they put out about 9/11, or expect you to believe it, now what? Now how are you going to handle this then? Senator Charles Schumer, the senior senator from New York, whose district, not whose district, but whose state includes the New York port, urged the Bush crime family to consider the sale carefully. Yeah, well, I would hope to shout. Now, last month, the White House appointed a senior Dubai Ports World Executive, a guy from Virginia named David Sanborn, to be the new administrator of the Maritime Administration of the Transportation Department. Do you understand this? He is now in the government. He is also a senior executive with this Dubai company, this United Arab Emirates company that's now going to take over the running of six American ports. Is it just me, or is there something terribly wrong with this picture? Somehow, something terribly wrong. If the Bush crime family really wants us to believe that Arabic hijackers from Saudi Arabia, based in the UAE, came to this country and blew the hell out of it, that now it's okay to turn over the operation of six of our major ports to representatives in the UAE? Oh my God. Stephen Flynn, who studies maritime security at the New York-based Council on Foreign Relations, you've heard of the Council on Foreign Relations, said that Even under foreign control, U.S. ports will continue to be run by unionized American employees. Mr. Flynn said, you're not going to have a bunch of UAE citizens working the docks. They're longshoremen, vested in high-paying jobs. Most of them are Archie Bunker kind of Americans. Now, what the hell does that snot bastard mean by that term? Huh? Archie Bunker kind of Americans. What do you mean, snot bastard, by that kind of a term? But let's just take it at face value. Okay, that means we're fat, white, racist, hard-working Americans who hate commies. And I guess Arabs, right? Is that what you mean? The FBI has said that money for the strikes against this country was transferred to the hijackers primarily through the UAE's banking system! Oh, God! Also, the hijacker who allegedly steered United Airlines flight in the World Trade Center South Tower was born there! But now they're going to run six of our ports. Of course, if you believe the cover story.
And I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things He gave us, and the greatest is love.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, my name is Millie. I'm a real person from Chicago. I have been fighting my weight for many years. After hearing an inspirational radio commercial about a mother from Florida who lost 100 pounds using all-natural H57 Hoodia, I was empowered to try it. H57 helped me lose over 65 pounds. When I pass by a mirror, I can't help but smile. Thanks, H57. I love seeing myself smile.
Call now for your risk-free supply of H57 Hoodia. Call 1-877-H57-DIET. Try it risk-free for 30 days or visit myh57.com.
You know, it's amazing how many things you can do online these days. Plastic surgery online is still a few years off, but I bet they're working on it. And what about doing all your car insurance business online? Well, it's already here. At Geico.com, you can do most everything. Change drivers, change cars, change coverage, change your oil. I made that last one up. Geico.com. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
the flying monkey right blues? Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before midnight. I got an email a little while ago from Nathan. Well, it's about Nathan. Nathan's 14 years old. He has a buddy staying over at his house. And they're bugging Nathan's dad to stay up until I say, have I mentioned tonight how much I hate these people? All right, Nathan, I just said it. Time to go to bed. So what is it that the Cheney shooting is supposed to distract us from? It's done a good job with mainstream media, for sure. So we devoted a third of our program to it. But for the geek factor, the freaking geek factor, but again, it's a diversion. Could it be this? Stan sent me this. The federal government is on the verge of one of the biggest giveaways of oil and gas in American history, worth an estimated $7 billion over the next 5 years. It is this. New projections buried in the Interior Department's just-published budget plan anticipate that the government will let companies pump about $65 billion worth of oil and gas, natural gas, from federal territory over the next 5 years without paying any royalties to the government. The royalties would amount to about $7 billion. Another big giveaway. These sons of bitches want to steal everything. Do you understand that, Truth Seeker? Do you understand that? Do you understand how bad this is? Do you understand how bad this is? It's just, it is so bad. It is so bad. Suzanne writes, Mike, with Karl Rove at the helm, I put nothing beyond these creeps. Isn't this whole episode with the Cheney accident shooting a grand distraction from the larger issue that Cheney is very probably guilty of committing treason? Who's talking about that huge issue? Yeah, I know, Suzanne. I know. It's been revealed. It was revealed, what, last Thursday or Friday that Irving Libby said in part of his testimony before the grand jury that he was ordered by his superiors to violate the law and release. This is conspiracy on the part of Cheney and Bush. These sons of bitches are criminals. But no, we're going to go for the bait, and we did, and willingly so. I know we have this other stuff to talk about. But my point of view with the Cheney thing is this stupid bastard is the head of the United States government, Dick Cheney. This is a guy making decisions. Oh, where's the rapture when you need it? And now this, an Arab firm to oversee six U.S. ports, which, frankly, who cares? That's my point. Don't misunderstand me here. I don't give a damn who oversees U.S. ports. I wish it were an American company. Call me jingoistic. Call me a nationalist. No, I just would love to see Americans have the jobs. And the profits and whatever tax breaks or whatever tax payments or just, I don't know. I guess I was brought up in that period of time when you thought, things like, well, gee, if it's an American port, if it's New Jersey, it will be an American company handling it, right? Wrong. And now for 5 years, these sons of bitches in the Bush crime family have hammered inside my brain. Arab bad, Muslim bad, terror, terror. And now this. In the very belly of the beast, if you believe the cover story. Right down in there, right down in the guts of the beast. The United Arab Emirates are now going to run a company there, now going to run six major U.S. ports. And this decision was announced on Friday. Who among us have ever heard of something called the U.S. Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States? Have you ever heard of that? A secretive U.S. government panel that considers security risks of foreign companies. No, we have no problem with the United Arab Emirate-based company, even though that was the the center of the terror attack on the United States. But it's cool. You see, if you believe the cover story. Now, to me, this in my little twisted, perverted, liberal, psycho world, one more reason not to believe the 9/11 cover story. One more! Were the towers brought down with controlled demolition? Well, by God, it looks like it to me. But beyond that, how about this, and that, and this, and that, and this, and that, and this, and that, and this, and that? And now this. Six major U.S. ports. Now, think for a moment. Think for a moment. Here we go. Here we go. Little thought experiment. Ready? Bill Clinton is president, and he turns over to the United Arab Emirate-based company the running of six U.S. ports. Think about it. Think about it. Huh? Think about this. Al Gore is out on a hunting thingy and shoots somebody. Huh? Think about that. Now think about Limbaugh. There goes your brain. I know. Snap, bang! Think about Hannity. Think about these little jelly brain sons of bitches who infest talk radio constantly, 24/7. Even up there in Buffalo. But I thought that the Arabs were our enemies. Not the Muslims. George Bush has gone out of his way to tell us that Jesus loves the Muslims. Many of the hijackers traveled to the United States through the United Arab Emirates. Also, the hijacker who steered United Airlines flight into the World Trade Center South Tower, Marwan al-Shehhi, was born in the United Arab Emirates. The FBI said the money for the strikes against this country was transferred to the hijackers primarily through the United Arab Emirates banking system. Much of the operational planning for the attacks took place inside the United Arab Emirates, and now company based there, run by, owned by, United Arab Emirates people are going to run our six ports. Something just doesn't add up.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Our apologies, but in the interest of bettering the future of your teeth, we're going to resort to a rather unpleasant tactic. Coercion. We will play the sound of someone grinding their teeth at night until somebody out there buys a doctor's night guard. Wear it at night to cushion and save your teeth. Come on. Somebody? There. Thank you, Kelly Kaplan of Paramus, New Jersey, for buying a doctor's night guard and relieving the nightly grind in the oral care section.
I thought you were done with our taxes.
I am, but now TurboTax can help us get even more from our tax refund.
Really?
Yeah. With TurboTax, we can use all or part of our refund for gift cards with a bonus of 10%, 20%, or more at over 50 major retailers.
Wow.
We can get more from the places where we'd spend our money anyway.
A bonus on top of our refund? I'm thinking power tools.
Or some new shoes.
DVD player.
Dinner out.
Barbecue grill.
New laptop.
Vacation.
Vacation.
Fees apply. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
Air America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. The White House has been peppered with many questions about why it failed to publicize Vice President Dick Cheney accidentally shooting a fellow quail hunter until the day after the incident happened. Political analyst Larry Sabato says the decision to not inform the public about the incident was wrong.
The incident itself is regrettable, but it's an accident. The real problem is that the Vice President's office tried to either delay the release of the information or deny the public the information entirely.
78-year-old Harry Whittington took birdshot pellets in his cheek, neck, and chest when Cheney unloaded his shotgun while aiming at a bird in South Texas Saturday. Whittington is in stable condition at a hospital in Corpus Christi. Hundreds of airline travelers are spending another night stranded at South Florida airports. Many say the hotels are completely booked, leaving them counting the hours until midweek, which will be the first time they can book a flight back home to the northeastern U.S.
My flight was supposed to leave at 8 for New Jersey. Came here and no flight. So they tell me Tuesday I leave. I go check this morning. Now it's Wednesday.
While the blizzard is over, it will take airlines days to recover from all the flights either delayed or canceled. UN Secretary General Kofi Annan says negotiations over Iran's nuclear development program are not dead. And after a meeting with President Bush in Washington, Annan urged all sides in the dispute to continue talking and take no steps to escalate the situation. The International Atomic Energy Agency has referred Iran to the UN for possible sanctions, and the government in Tehran has reacted by pulling out all monitoring of its facilities and says it has resumed enrichment of uranium. In Oklahoma, a state house committee has voted to require parental permission before an abortion can be performed on a teenager. The house bill is authored by State Representative Odelia Dank of Oklahoma City.
So this would change the law from just informing a parent through parental notification to actually giving their consent before an abortion is performed on a minor.
Dank says schools require permission before a minor could take an aspirin, so it only makes sense that teens get parental consent before undergoing a surgical procedure. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. Again, a big welcome to Buffalo, New York, 1270 WHLD, who has joined the Air America Radio family. The Cheney story, as entertaining and doofus-like and Elmer Fudd-like as it is out there for a reason, and we understand that. This always happens with the Bush crime family. So what is it we're not supposed to be focused on? We've made a couple of suggestions. And there's also this at rawstory.com. Larissa Alexandrovna's article about the unmasking of Valerie Plame Wilson by the White House officials in 2003 caused significant damage to U.S. national security and the ability of this country to counter nuclear proliferation abroad. According to what Larissa has written here, current and former intelligence officials say that Valerie Wilson, who worked on the clandestine side of the CIA in the Directorate of Operations as a non-official cover officer, was part of an operation tracking distribution and acquisition of weapons of mass destruction technology to and from Iran. According to Raw Story, speaking under strict confidentiality, intelligence officials revealed heretofore unreported elements of Valerie Plame's work. Their account suggests that Plame's outing was more serious than has previously been reported and carries grave implications for U.S. national security and its ability to monitor Iraq's burgeoning nuclear program. Do you understand that, Truth Seeker? That as wicked and snotty and evil and petty as these people are, and by these people I mean Bush and Cheney, in addition to being world-class killers and murderers, warmongers, thugs, thieves, liars, and deceivers, they continue to set the United States up for more and more and more risk and more danger. According to Raw Story, intelligence sources would not identify the specifics of Valerie Plame's work. They did, however, say that her outing resulted in, quote, severe damage, end quote, to her team and significantly hampered the CIA's ability to monitor nuclear proliferation. Plame's team, these experts added, would have come in contact with AQ Khan's network in the course of her work in Iran. You know who A.Q. Khan is. He's the guy that's been referred to as he's the Pakistani scientist that's referred to as the father of their nuclear program. He's the one that sold nuclear technology to anyone that would have the money, and he's his government, the government of the military dictator there, Musharraf, is the one that the Bush crime family continues to back. Do you understand the implications of this? Jesus. Now, one more item here from Larissa Alexandrovna's story over at Raw Story, and you need to check this out. While Director of Central Intelligence Porter Goss has not submitted a formal damage assessment to congressional oversight committees about, you know, a formal assessment of how bad the outing of Valerie Plame really was, the CIA's Director of Operations did conduct a serious and aggressive investigation, according to sources. Intelligence sources familiar with the damage assessment say that what is called a counterintelligence assessment to agency operations was conducted on the orders of the CIA's then Deputy Director of this particular outfit, James Pavitt. It is believed that such an assessment would have had to be done for the CIA to have referred the case to the Justice Department. An exposure like this required an immediate operational and counterintelligence damage assessment, according to one of these experts. That was done. The results were written up, but not informed for submission to anyone outside the CIA. What they're talking about here is it should have been turned over for a criminal investigation. How many criminal acts did Dick Cheney and George W. Bush have to commit? Criminal acts that are so far beyond some kind of oral sex activity and then lying about it in the Oval Office acts that put every single American at risk, our country at risk. How much? I mean, is there a limit? There is none, is there? Let's be real. There is no limit to what the American public will accept from these murderous sons of bitches. Nothing. No top end. No limit whatsoever. We are going to sit back on our collective asses and watch while these people utterly and absolutely destroy the country, destroy our national security, destroy our military, destroy our economy. We're just going to sit here, aren't we? We are. We're just going to sit here. We're going to sit here and pitter-patter and play grab-ass on this talk radio program and all the talk radio programs out there. We're going to watch The View. We're going to watch the crap on television. In the meantime, these people are eating the country alive. Do you understand that? Jesus, do you understand that? I do. So what do we do, Kathy? I sit here and say that, and yet I'm doing it. Huh? What do I do? Take some phone calls. Sure. Okay. Chiffon is calling from New Jersey. Chiffon, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Yes. Hi.
How you doing, Mike?
Hey, I'm doing great, Chiffon. How are you?
Long time no hear.
Yeah, I know. I've been telling my wife. Where's Chiffon?
Well, anyway, I just have a couple of comments. I wrote them down so I wouldn't forget. So
all right, go ahead. Let her rip.
Okay, so like on the Cheney incident, you know how like they say like there's never no any such thing as an accident?
Right.
Well, like when the crap was hitting the fan first, you know, when it looked like indictments would come down, you know, Libby did the right thing, and like he wound up hurting himself.
Yeah.
You know, and like here's Dick, you know, when he gets upset, he goes and he shoots his friend in the face.
Yeah, I know.
And, you know, it's kind of like what's going on in Iraq, too, like the way they drive around in cars and they see a target and they get out and they shoot it.
Yeah.
Anyway, then the thing about the United Arab Emirates, I looked that up, and this guy, Sultan Ahmed bin Sulayem,
yeah,
he's like the head guy. And he's like this, like, world-class kind of, like, I don't know, designer, like, puppet master kind of a guy. And he's got a company that is creating, like, tiny islands, but they're, like, in the shape of the continents. And they're, like, I guess off the coast of Dubai.
Oh, yeah, I've seen pictures of that. Yeah, where the rich people can go have a nice beach.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that.
He's got that. But in the meantime, he goes around the world and he buys ports all over the place.
Oh, yeah?
He's got ports in Japan. He's, you know, he wants these ports. He's got ports everywhere. And then he's hooked up with Lloyd's of London.
Yeah?
So I guess my point is that he might be a good guy.
Well, no, my point is I don't know anything about the head of the UAE. I know nothing. I know nothing about this company. But the story that you and I and every American is supposed to have swallowed was that these badass Arabs came to this country and blew up everything.
Oh, well, yeah.
And killed 3,000 people on our soil and attacked our holiest shrine, the Pentagon.
And then the other thing is that if they...
And I don't believe it!
If they do get some action here,
yeah,
you know it's going to be jobs for Carlisle, Bechtel, and Halliburton.
Yeah, well, welcome to hell, Chiffon.
Well, that's all I had to say tonight, and you have a good one.
All right. Thanks, Chiffon. I appreciate it. Thanks
Bye-bye.
For checking in. Bye-bye. I'm not taking an anti-Arab stance. That's just not my style. I'm merely saying, and I'm sure most folks have caught this, Chiffon included, and you included, Truth Seeker, but just in case there's somebody out there who didn't catch it, the story that we have been fed since a couple of days after September 11, 2001 has been a certain story. And that certain story is a lie. Doesn't that... we'll be back.
All these truths to be self-evident. Well, this is evident, yeah. In the American way, you must get and I shall take. I will tell you what is moral and what's just. Because I want, because I will, because I can.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm John. Like most moms, my wife Maggie makes sacrifices for the kids and me every day. After reading an article about another mom from Florida who lost 100 pounds using all-natural H57 Hoodia, she decided to finally do something for herself. She tried H57 Hoodia, and it worked. I've never seen her happier. Since she started taking H57 Hoodia, we can't keep up with her. Look, to me, she's always been beautiful, but now you can tell she feels that way, too. Thanks, H57. I love seeing Maggie smile.
Call now and try H57 Hoodia risk-free at 877-H57-DIET or visit myh57.com.
Welcome back to Inside D.C. I am Kim Davis, and we're talking politics with James on his car phone.
Kim, I just missed a right turn back there. Now, can I take a right at this light?
Well, I have been accused of leaning to the right.
To easily get back on track when you miss a turn, you want to ask TomTom, not Kim.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen, and a helpful voice guides you where you're going.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
The hour. Boy, I'll tell you, when the bad news comes, it just comes in waves, doesn't it? Republicans are cheering. Republicans in Ohio are cheering tonight. Paul Hackett, the Iraq War veteran, who almost won a seat in Congress in a district in Ohio that was about as Republican as 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue is Republican. And Hackett decided to run for the Senate this time against Mike DeWine and start his campaign tomorrow or Wednesday is filing deadline. Well, guess who's been pressuring Paul Hackett to drop out of the race? Guess who has been calling his campaign donors and saying, don't give him money because he's not the man we want to run. Oh, you're way ahead of me, aren't you? The Democratic Party leaders have been pressuring Paul. Can you believe this, Kathy? Been pressuring Paul for the past couple of weeks. Have been pressuring Paul Hackett to drop out of the Senate race because they want Congressman Sherrod Brown to run. They say that Sherrod Brown, a seven-term incumbent, has a far better chance of beating Mike DeWine. So here's the first guy, the first Iraq veteran, who came back from that miserable war. And it's my understanding he became totally anti-war, and he was anti-war, but now he believes, correct me if I'm wrong, it doesn't matter anymore because he's dropped out of everything. But he believed in withdrawal, get the hell out of Iraq. Did I say Iran? I'm in Iraq. Hackett said, for me, this is a second betrayal. First, my government misused and mismanaged the military in Iraq, and now my own party is afraid to support candidates like me. He said, this is an extremely disappointing decision that I feel has been forced on me. He said he was outraged to learn that party leaders were calling his donors and asking them to stop giving. And said, no, he's not going to run for the second district seat in Congress, which is what Charles Schumer and Harry Reid told him to do. These are the same guys, Schumer and Reid, who Hackett said persuaded him last August to enter the Senate race. Why spend the last half hour of the program bashing Democrats? I'm sure the Republicans will do it tomorrow. They make me sick. I'll just say that. They just make me sick. They just make me sick. Hackett said he was unwilling to run for the congressional seat because he had given his word to three Democratic candidates who are going to run for that he would not enter that race. Hackett, who is a lawyer in Cincinnati, said, the party keeps saying for me not to worry about those promises that I made to those guys because in politics they're broken all the time. I don't work that way. My word is my bond. And Jennifer Duffy, this is the New York Times in tomorrow's issue. Jennifer Duffy, who analyzed the Senate races for the Cook Political Report, said that part of what made Democratic leaders nervous about Mr. Hackett was what had also made him so popular with voters. You sons of bitches, you dirty pigs. Ms. Duffy said, Hackett is seen by many as a straight talker, and he became an icon to liberal bloggers because he says exactly what they have wished they would hear from a politician. On the other hand, Ms. Duffy says, the Senate is still an exclusive club, and the Democratic Party expects a certain level of decorum that Hackett has not always shown. Oh, my God. Remember, Hackett was criticized last year for using indecent language to describe Bush. And last month, state Republicans attacked Hackett for saying their party, Republican Party, had been hijacked by religious extremists who Hackett said, quote, aren't a whole lot different from Osama bin Laden, end quote, which is the absolute truth. For God's sake, you can take that to the bank. Republicans asked him to apologize for that statement, and Hackett said, I said it, I meant it, I stand behind it. Well, that's too much for people like Charles Schumer and Harry Reid and the leaders of the Democratic Party. They just can't handle that. They want decorum in the Congress, like this little piglet in the House, Gene Schmidt, calling John Murtha a coward. That's the kind of decorum, I guess, that the Democrats want. She barely beat Hackett in the last election in a district, what is it, a second Ohio district? And this piglet, Gene Schmidt, barely beat him. In a district that has been historically Republican. Well, don't feel bad, Paul. The Democratic Party is composed primarily of pigs, liars, cheats, sneaks, and two-bit whores. Don't worry about it.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Thanks a lot for the ride home.
Hey, no problem. Just because you're a sophomore doesn't mean I can't talk to you.
Thanks.
Hey, while you're here, want to take a hit of some weed? Some good stuff. Here you go.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. A consumer alert was recently reported in a leading consumer testing magazine. It warns, if you're sensitive to dust, avoid bagless vacuums. I would never make a bagless vacuum because they're filthy. My 8-pound Oric XL is hypoallergenic. Try one free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. You'll breathe easier knowing it's an Oric XL.
Hi, my name is Millie. I'm a real person from Chicago. I have been fighting my weight for many years. After hearing an inspirational radio commercial about a mother from Florida who lost 100 pounds using all-natural H57 Hoodia, I was empowered to try it. H57 helped me lose over 65 pounds. When I pass by a mirror, I can't help but smile. Thanks, H57. I love seeing myself smile.
Call now for your risk-free supply of H57 Hoodia. Call 1-877-H57-DIET. Try it risk-free for 30 days or visit myh57.com.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, we eliminate the middleman? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
We'll be right back.
border to border and coast to coast. The Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
26 before the hour. All right, we are in, still in part one. We're in chapter seven, and we are rapidly approaching the end of part one in the novel 1984. We have a lengthy chapter eight to get through. When we left off Friday, Winston Smith has been spending some time trying to figure out. He wants to understand why the party and Big Brother do the things they do. He understands how they do it because he works within that mechanism, but he wants to understand why they do it. He's concerned with the lying and the changing of the past and the application of his fears and his thoughts to today's political scene are just astonishing. But as Winston says, the past not only changed, but changed continuously. And he can't figure out why that sort of enterprise was undertaken by the party. So let's pick up where we left off. Winston Smith is trying his damnedest to think clearly. In the end, the party would announce that 2 and 2 made 5, and you would have to believe it. It was inevitable that they should make that claim sooner or later. The logic of their position demanded it. Not merely the validity of experience, but the very existence of external reality was tacitly denied by their philosophy. The heresy of heresies was common sense. And what was terrifying was not that they would kill you for thinking otherwise, but that they might be right. For after all, how do we know that 2 and 2 make 4? Or that the force of gravity works? Or that the past is unchangeable? If both the past and the external world exist only in the mind, and if the mind itself is controllable, what then? But no. No. His courage seemed suddenly to stiffen of its own accord. The face of O'Brien, not called up by any obvious association, had floated into his mind. He knew with more certainty than before that O'Brien was on his side. He was writing the diary for O'Brien, to O'Brien. It was like an interminable letter, which no one would ever read, but which was addressed to a particular person and took its color from that fact. The party told you to reject the evidence of your eyes and ears. It was their final, most essential command. His heart sank as he thought of the enormous power arrayed against him, the ease with which any party intellectual would overthrow him in debate, the subtle arguments which he would not be able to understand, much less answer. And yet he was in the right. They were wrong, and he was right. The obvious, the silly, and the true had got to be defended. Truisms are true. Hold on to that. The solid world exists. Its laws do not change. Stones are hard. Water is wet. Objects unsupported fall towards the Earth's center. With the feeling that he was speaking to O'Brien and also that he was setting forth an important axiom, he wrote, "Freedom is the freedom to say that 2 plus 2 make 4. If that is granted, all else follows." Chapter 8. From somewhere at the bottom of the passage, the smell of roasting coffee, real coffee, not victory coffee, came floating out into the street. Winston paused involuntarily. For perhaps 2 seconds, he was back in the half-forgotten world of his childhood. Then a door banged, seeming to cut off the smell as abruptly as though it had been a sound. He had walked several kilometers over pavements, and his varicose ulcer was throbbing. This was the second time in 3 weeks that he had missed an evening at the community center. A rash act, since you could be certain that The number of your attendances at the center was carefully checked. In principle, a party member had no spare time and was never alone except in bed. It was assumed that when he was not working, eating, or sleeping, he would be taking part in some kind of communal recreation. To do anything that suggested a taste for solitude, even to go for a walk by yourself, was always slightly dangerous. There was a word for it in Newspeak. Own life, it was called, meaning individualism and eccentricity. But this evening, as he came out of the ministry, the balminess of the April air had tempted him. The sky was a warmer blue than he had seen it that year, and suddenly the long, noisy evening at the center, the boring, exhausting games, the lectures, the creaking camaraderie oiled by gin had seemed intolerable. On impulse, he had turned away from the bus stop and wandered off into the labyrinth of London, first south, then east, then north again, losing himself among unknown streets and hardly bothering in which direction he was going. If there is hope, he had written in his diary, it lies in the proles. The words kept coming back to him, statement of a mystical truth and a palpable absurdity. He was somewhere in the vague brown-colored slums to the north and east of what had once been St. Pancras Station. He was walking up the cobbled street of little two-story houses with battered doorways which gave straight on the pavement, and which were somehow curiously suggestive of rat holes. There were puddles of filthy water here and there among the cobbles. In and out of the dark doorways and down narrow alleyways that branched off on either side, people swarmed in astonishing numbers, girls in full bloom with crudely lipsticked mouths, and youths who chased the girls, and swollen, waddling women who showed you what the girls would be like in 10 years' time, and old bent creatures shuffling along on splayed feet, and ragged, barefooted children who played in the puddles and then scattered at angry yells from their mothers. Perhaps a quarter of the windows in the street were broken and boarded up. Most of the people paid no attention to Winston. A few eyed him with a sort of guarded curiosity. Two monstrous women with brick-red forearms folded across their aprons were talking outside a doorway. Winston caught scraps of conversation as he approached.
"Yes," I says to her, that's all very well," I says, but if you'd have been in my place, you'd have done the same as what I done. It's easy to criticize," I says, but you ain't got the same problems as what I got." "Ah," said the other, "that's just it. That's just where it is."
The strident voices stopped abruptly. The women studied him in hostile silence as he went past. But it was not hostility exactly, merely a kind of wariness, a momentary stiffening, as at the passing of some unfamiliar animal. The blue overalls of the party could not be a common sight in a street like this. Indeed, it was unwise to be seen in such places unless you had definite business there. The patrols might stop you if you happened to run into them. "May I see your papers, comrade? What are you doing here? What time did you leave work? Is this your usual way home?" And so on and so forth. Not that there was any rule against walking home by an unusual route, but it was enough to draw attention to you if the thought police heard about it. Suddenly the whole street was in commotion. There were yells of warning from all sides. People were shooting into the doorways like rabbits. A young woman leapt out of a doorway a little ahead of Winston, grabbed up the tiny child playing in a puddle, whipped her apron around it, and leapt back in again, all in one movement. At the same instant, a man in a concertina-like black suit, who had emerged from a side alley, ran towards Winston, pointing excitedly to the sky.
"Steamer!" he yelled. "Look out, governor! Bang overhead! Lay down quick!"
Steamer was a nickname which, for some reason, the proles applied to rocket bombs. Winston promptly flung himself on his face. The proles were nearly always right when they gave you a warning of this kind. They seemed to possess some kind of instinct which told them several seconds in advance when a rocket was coming, although the rockets supposedly traveled faster than sound. Winston clasped his forearm above his head. There was a roar that seemed to make the pavement heave. A shower of light objects pattered onto his back. When he stood up, he found that he was covered with fragments of glass from the nearest window. He walked on. The bomb had demolished a group of houses 200 meters up the street. A black plume of smoke hung in the sky, and below it a cloud of plaster dust in which a crowd was already forming around the ruins. There was a little pile of plaster lying on the pavement ahead of him, and in the middle of it he could see a bright red streak. When he got up to it, he saw that it was a human hand severed at the wrist. Apart from the bloody stump, the hand was so completely whitened as to resemble a plaster cast. He kicked the thing into the gutter, and then, to avoid the crowd, turned down a side street to the right. Within 3 or 4 minutes, he was out of the area which the bomb had affected, and the sordid, swarming life of the streets was going on as though nothing had happened. It was nearly 20 hours, and the drinking shops, which the proles frequent, pubs they called them, were choked with customers. From their grimy swing doors, endlessly opening and shutting, there came forth the smell of urine, sawdust, and sour beer. In an angle formed by a projecting house front, three men were standing very close together, the middle one of them holding a folded-up newspaper, which the other two were studying over his shoulder. Even before he was near enough to make out the expression on their faces, Winston could see absorption in every line of their bodies. It was obviously some serious piece of news that they were reading. He was a few paces away from them when suddenly the group broke up and two of the men were in violent altercation. For a moment, they seemed almost on the point of blows.
Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement, and now we're trying to develop a Silver Rights Movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers. Business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
Ready for a liberal helping of truth? It's more of Mike Malloy.
Who made me judge and jury hear it?
It's about 9 before the hour. Thanks to the gang in New York tonight. Justin Yuen, Kate Caplice. What? What? Yeah, I think I said Clay. Clay Caplice. I'm sorry, I'm getting... my producer is saying in my headphones, no, first name is Clay. I said Clay. Oh, well. Justin Yuen and Clay Caplice, and, of course, our resident rock star, Jason Isaac, all of whom engineered the program tonight. Thanks also to Dee Neal, our associate producer, and the blog queen at airamericaradio.com/Mike Malloy. Our usual gang, Chris in Minnesota, Mark Marshall, Ben Birch, Jim in Arkansas, and our executive producer, Catherine Bay. Thanks to everybody for the program tonight. Let's try to get some more calls in here very quickly. From Michigan, Vince is calling. Vince? Hey, Vince.
You know, you just mentioned Ohio and Paul Hackett. That's a shame. But also today, Tom Noe was charged with 53 offenses.
Yeah, in Ohio. I saw that. That son of a bitch, if he's found guilty, will go to prison for the rest of his life.
Yeah, right. And he's already been charged with illegally funneling at least 45 grand to Bush's 2004 election campaign in Ohio. This Noe thing, you know, he's very crooked and dirty.
Oh, my God. I had no idea the Republican Party in Ohio, my home state, years ago, had become nothing more than a criminal enterprise. It's incredible what has been revealed in the past year and a half, 2 years.
Right, and he's just not another plane scandal or wiretap scandal or WMDs or delay or frist. He's an election fraud scandal.
Yeah.
This money that he's stolen, and this prosecutors in Lucas County, that's your old neck of the woods, right?
Yeah, it is. That's my home county, for God's sake. Yeah, I was
up to $6 million. He's been charged with stealing from the State of Ohio Bureau's Worker Compensation Fund.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so much of that cash was distributed to people to keep their mouths shut about the crooked election.
I'm not surprised. Or
his wife, Bernadette, was the Lucas County, she was an official on the Lucas County Elections Board.
Mm-hmm.
And she was so bad that a couple weeks, and the whole thing was so dirty, and she was a fall guy for Blackwell and the Republicans. A couple weeks after the 2004 election, Blackwell insisted that she resign to try to keep things quiet and make it not look so bad. And, she did quit as the Lucas County Elections Board worker a couple weeks after the 2004 election. And that got a little media play
mm-hmm.
in Ohio for a couple days, but that was the end of it. So this guy, Noe, his wife, they're bad. They haven't been charged with any election fraud, certainly, but these federal and state offenses they've been charged with tell us that Ohio election was crooked, and all that work we did a year and a half or 15-16 months ago, we donated, I'm sure your listeners
mm-hmm.
donated the money we could, we called the people we could, we knocked on the doors, we gave people rides to the polls on election day. And given a fair vote count, it wouldn't have been all for naught. Kerry won Ohio. He carried Ohio, and exit polls were right. John Kerry won that election.
I think Paul Hackett would have probably legitimately
right.
defeated Gene Schmidt also.
Absolutely. That's another one. He might have very well won that special election they had in August of 2005.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a shame. Kerry won, so did Gore, and because of these fraudulent elections, we've been stuck with this. Well, Mike, thanks so much for taking my call.
All right, thanks,
Love
Vince.
Your show.
I appreciate you checking in. I, you know, when when Vince says that, or anybody points out the fraud, and it's not just Florida and it's not just Ohio. I guess it's also Indiana. Where else? Arizona. I'm sure there are states all over the country, including Georgia, where election after election has been stolen, and when that's pointed out, I don't know what the proper reaction is or should be when we're sitting there telling each other the story. I mean, if I tell it to you or you tell it to me, what's your reaction? Yeah, man, that's a bitch. Wow. Or, well, it's time to get what Pat Buchanan delightfully refers to as the pitchforks and lighted torches and storm the castle. I don't know. I'm not sure what to do. I just don't know. So we continue to do what we do every night, and that is to talk about it. And I guess to hope that in talking about it, the mindset will develop amongst those of us who understand the truth, but sometimes reach to take somebody's hand to figure out what to do about it. Maybe that circle will start to grow, and maybe just the energy that's necessary will be there. I don't know. I don't understand energy anyway. It's very magical and mysterious to me. So maybe there is such a thing as the invisible whip. Oy. Well, listen, thanks for participating in the program tonight. However you did that, I do appreciate it. All right? I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
On Air America Radio.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, "We eliminate the middleman"? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO. 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Hi, I'm John. Like most moms, my wife Maggie makes sacrifices for the kids and me every day. After reading an article about another mom from Florida who lost 100 pounds using all-natural H57 Hoodia, she decided to finally do something for herself. She tried H57 Hoodia, and it worked. I've never seen her happier. Since she started taking H57 Hoodia, we can't keep up with her. Look, to me, she's always been beautiful, but now you can tell she feels that way, too. Thanks, H57. I love seeing Maggie smile.
Call now and try H57 Hoodia risk-free at 877-H57-DIET or visit myh57.com.